Hi, Sid. Looking to get advice on friendships post college. And I know you and your sister talked about it a little bit, but and it's weird. It is weird. I totally agree with you. I'm just struggling to figure out when you know, like, how do you know which friendships are worth fighting for and like continue to put effort in, and which friendships you should just kind of let disintegrate, honestly, or not that anything bad has happened. You didn't have a fight, nothing falling out. You're just drifting apart. And I know that's part of life, but I'm just trying to figure out, which friendships should I continue to try to prioritize and make time for and put in an effort? And then how do I know which ones I should just kind of let go of? I'm 26, all my friends are 25, 26. We all went to college together and we're super close in college, and now there's kind of a divide, and I don't know, should I continue to prioritize everyone or just let it kind of fall apart? I don't know, drift apart. Let me know what you think. Thank you.
I can answer that quite easily. The answer is absolutely not. You should not be prioritizing everybody in your friend group.
Absolutely not.
What's the point?
I just, and how large, did she say how large the friend group is?
No, she didn't. But if I picture a friend group, I think of ours.
That's
and
what
it's
I'm
huge.
picturing, and I'm picturing 20 people.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't prioritize every single relationship, but like you get your little pockets of people that you figure out, oh, we have X, Y, and Z in common. I feel very comfortable with this person. I can joke with this person about that. Like you and I didn't find out that like we got along so great until a couple years into our big friend group. Like
Yeah.
relationships ebb and flow, and that's okay.
We didn't know we were friends until post college,
Yeah.
which is why it's like, okay, I'm not saying like if you haven't connected with someone, because my vibe was always like, okay, if I haven't gotten close with this person by now, it's probably not gonna happen. But it was only the people that I was like trying to force them to like me.
Exactly.
That's there's a difference between I don't actually know this person and I'm forcing or wanting this person to like me, kind
Yeah.
of. And that's like I'm not getting the same reciprocated energy.
Yeah.
And now I feel uncomfortable. Like that's the type of behavior you're gonna avoid.
Yeah. You should
Because
never have to force something. Like if you're
no.
trying for a friendship and you're just not feeling it and it's not making you feel great, it's okay to let it go.
Yeah. Especially a big friend group is not, I
Yeah.
mean, it's not maintainable. Like, here's what I always thought too, is I was like, well, I'm going to be or perceived as a bad friend if I'm not reaching out and checking in on everybody and like making sure all my people are okay. And like, they won't know that we're like still close or they're my people. It's like, no, when you leave college, you're not living within this weird college bubble of everybody the same age.
Everyone's scattered.
Everyone's scattered. Your good friends are the friends that make an effort with you. If you have friends that were your good friends, but you feel them drifting away, make the effort that feels appropriate. And then maybe if it's naturally drifting away, that's okay.
It's okay.
If you were trying with those friends that were like, I call them like my best friend's friends. Like I would try with them. We'd go to the bars. Like when my friend would walk away, I would be like, so.
What are you guys going to talk about now?
Where do you guys go to school? Oh, fuck, you all go here. Okay. Like, it's just so awkward. And you're like,
great.
Perfect. But it's like, those are the people that you're like, just,
yeah.
you don't have to wish them ill will. You don't have to have bad vibes to not keep a friendship.
Yeah.
Like, period.
Yeah.
That's so what I got to say about that.
And I agree with that.
Hey, and amen to that.
Amen to that.
Roll. No, just kidding. Crew, your 20s are fucking hard. They're hard. And Hannah Oborski, she's my friend from college, which is crazy that we literally like, we were acquaintances for sure in college. We were friends.
Lived two doors away from each other.
Yep. Bugged each other quite often, but we weren't like besties.
Yeah.
Transparently, I thought you had different besties than I did. And so like, we were in like two different groups within the bigger friend group.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, which is kind of what this person's talking about. But what's funny about college is I feel like the behavior, you take things so seriously. You think everyone's out to get you. You think everyone's talking about you, thinking about you, bothered by you. And that's just literally not
no
the case
one cares.
Whatsoever. Because
no
guess
one cares.
What? I wasn't thinking about you
no.
in college.
No.
And so you're not thinking about me.
No.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, so it's cool to have a friend like you where we became close after college because it's like, where did this come from?
I was thinking about it earlier today and I was like, did we have like a defining moment? Or is it just gradual built up? Like, I don't think
the gradual build, the love, the shimmer. I'm getting the tingly. I'm on one tonight, you guys. You don't want to see me. You don't need, don't look at me. No, I think we, when did we? I don't know.
I was really trying to think of it before I came over here and I couldn't think of a specific.
Sometimes I think it might've been when you would like, we'd all have a big friend group hangout, but you'd come like on time.
Yeah. We were the only two people there right at like 6 p.m., which is, hey guys.
Whoa, weird. No, I'm like, so I told everyone to be here at 6. It's 7:45. Okay. No, but like, and then we're just like, I'm like, wait, you're normal and cool. Like, I always knew you were normal and cool, but I'm like, wait, you're like my vibe. What the fuck?
What?
And then I visited you out in L.A. and then obviously, yeah. I mean, we're friends before that, but it's like, it's fun to have friends long distance. I know that sounds really weird, but when they're your vibe, mm-hmm. when you balance each other out and when you can like check in on each other and like everything feels good.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Like we can like, go it's weeks so much without fun. Not talking to each other and we text each other like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so bad at texting.
Yeah, every
and
time.
And then pick up the conversation. Like we have a never ending conversation.
It never ends.
Yeah.
That's never a high. It's always just like, and on to what you just said 3 weeks ago. Is that still relevant? I don't know if it is, like, but I got to tell you what happened the other day. Hobos on the podcast. We went to college together at the U. We were sorority sisters.
Sisters.
But I will tell you, your 20s are fucking hard. I mean,
hard.
I remember like leaving college. I remember moving out and feeling like the darkest depression come over me and like knowing it was inevitable and knowing that I couldn't stay there, mm-hmm. but like feeling like my identity was being ripped from me because I'm like, you're a college student for so long. You're high school. You're in, you know, you're going up. You're a high school athlete or whatever you are in
such a acting specific or
something.
Identity.
Yeah, something specific where you're with a group.
Yeah.
Then you're college. And then you're supposed to just figure it the fuck out. They're like, bye-bye. Here's your piece of paper.
Go. Get out of here.
Shoo. Which I didn't like that. And I had to move home.
Oh, yeah. And then we both lived in Uptown for a little bit.
Yeah. Uptown was good until it wasn't. It was not good after a while. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you feel like you have this loss of identity. At least that's how I felt really like straight out of college. I felt like I didn't know who I was. And it's funny looking back because it's like, well, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you feel lost when you are leaving college and not,
and
finding jobs based on zero credentials?
Zero.
And being like, no, I promise. I'm really good at making coffee.
I'm really, really good.
And it's just like, no shit, you're not going to be good at your job and like not going to probably like it. I don't know.
If you are lucky enough to graduate and get into a job that you immediately fall in love with, that is one of the most rare things.
Yeah,
I think. I don't know one friend that was obsessed with their job right out of the gate. I hated my job right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And it was tough.
I felt like everybody was, I don't know, I felt maybe this is just how I felt, but I'm like, everyone is a step ahead of me. Everyone is making more money than me. Everybody is like, you know, developing their career and doing what they love and like passionate about it. They look like they're having so much fun. Mm-hmm. All those friends that moved away, like right away, like they're living their life. I'm just living in my mom's basement. Like, it is okay to be at different points than your friends, but it doesn't mean it didn't feel like shit.
Yeah. I can relate hard.
Yeah. And it lingered for a long time. And I lived in my mom's basement and then COVID hit. We're not going to talk about COVID, but that's a whole thing. And you live down there and then we moved to Uptown and we both lived there, but Uptown kind of got like, you know, good and the not great.
Yep.
And we felt lost. I mean, I would love you to talk about your, cause this isn't a careers episode, but you had a very interesting like college, post-college, like your, honestly, your career path.
Yeah. Very unconventional. Early 20s. Very unconventional. Mm-hmm. I've had like four or five jobs.
Yeah.
Let's get into it, I guess.
Let's get into it here.
So we both graduated 2019.
Yep.
I went to school to be a teacher. So I got my bachelor's in education.
Sweet girl. Yes, she's a sweet little teacher girl.
And then so through the University of Minnesota, you actually can't like graduate with your bachelor's. You have to go and do the master's program to get your teacher's license.
Oh, interesting.
So I did a fifth year to get my master's degree in education. Mind you, this was all during COVID and all of that fun time that we all remember.
Silly, fun things. Yeah.
So as soon as I graduated in 2020, I moved to Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I grew up here, went to college here. So as soon as I graduated, I had said for years, I was like, Colorado, I'm coming for you. So I moved there and I started my first teaching job. I was a first grade teacher. I felt like...
Can't believe you just up and moved too, by the way.
I know. It was crazy. Actually,
like, literally no family there. Like just like, oh, yeah. Yep, I'm going to Colorado.
Also, we had maybe 30 people from college end up moving.
Yeah,
there.
That's right.
So it was like an easier transition, I will say. And I moved with one of my best friends and we lived together. Yes. So that made it easy. Already had like a handful of best friends there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was going in not knowing a single person. Like
true.
It was an easy transition for me. I will say that. Mm-hmm. But once I started teaching, probably the most difficult time that I had to go through. Just like a quick blurb. Like I had 28 students in my classroom, 2 spoke English for their first language. The school was in an old warehouse building. It wasn't even an actual school. So I had like a, you know, like when semi trucks would like back up to a building and like unload and it's like that slide up garage door. That was in my classroom. I continuously like asked for help. I couldn't get the support I needed. I'd get in my car every day and cry on my drive home.
Oh
like
my God, hobo.
It was tough. I was first year teacher during COVID. And I know like the teacher quit rate. What is the word I'm looking for?
I don't know what the word is right now. I don't know why, but
I don't know. I was one of those. I lasted maybe 4 months and I could not physically do it anywhere. So
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you feel like a failure? Did you feel like I got my degree?
Oh,
and yeah. I just, what the fuck did I just do? Basically.
Like, and it's not even like I got my bachelor's. I got my master's.
Yeah.
I paid for an extra year of schooling because I worked with kids my whole life. I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I felt like it was my passion, my calling. And then to get into it and like literally last 4 months and be like, well, Mom and dad,
I'm back. How you doing? I'm just kidding.
It was hard. Really, really hard. But I also remember like the first Monday I woke up after I quit and I was like, I should be teaching math right now and like stressed out. And I just felt like so good.
The relief.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just like to say that because I'm like, I want people who are in this position of they went to get their degree in veterinary school or I mean psychology or I mean literally you name
anything.
I was journalism originally, like literally like a journalist with a microphone. Hi. But I kind of have that right now. But okay, whatever.
Okay, whatever. Moving on.
Doesn't matter. But it's like you feel like, oh my God, there's no way anyone feels the same way as I do. Yeah. There's no way anyone is struggling how I am and like thought that all these years of school, like anywhere from 4 to 8, I thought I was right. I thought I was going to love this shit and I didn't or don't.
Yeah. And it was really tough. But like, thankfully I also have great, amazing supportive parents who they were also the people that I would cry on my car ride home and be bawling. And they were like, find anything else before you just quit teaching because you can't quit without any other form of income. Mm-hmm. So luckily, they were actually able to connect me with a hostess job at like this restaurant that they knew someone, who owned it, which thankfully, because if I didn't have that, like, I don't know what I would have done. So I went from teaching to hosting at a restaurant while all my friends were maybe already a year into their corporate girly jobs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm back to square one.
Yep.
What do I do now? I had no idea, literally no idea.
That feeling of just being like not where your friends are, like that in hindsight, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But in that moment, you don't know that.
Yeah.
You feel like shit.
Yep.
And that's okay. Like I want people to know that we've all been there in some way, shape or form. It's kind of like a graph where some people are up and some people are down and then the graph like shifts and everybody's just going up and down.
Yeah.
And you won't know when people are, you might know when people are, you're always going to be able to see everybody else more when you're the one that's down because then you're looking up at everybody else like, oh shit, am I the only one down here? But it's so relatable that you like hit that wall and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
I know.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
It was terrifying actually. Yeah. And you just have to figure it out. I was like, oh my God, this is one thing that I thought was going to be for sure. Like this was my career path.
Yeah.
Boom, gone.
What happened next? What did you do?
I thought a lot about my interests, my passions, what I would be good at. And I decided to try to get into sales. I thought sales would be like a good, you know, a lot of like relatable traits, I guess, that you could kind of apply when going through interviews and stuff. So I applied for so many sales positions. And the first job offer that I got was from a construction company. Mm-hmm. It was like the largest construction company in the world. And I took it.
You did?
Yeah. Cause I needed a job. I was hosting like 3 days a week, like making $12 an hour, like,
holy
and like
shit, dude.
Splitting tips with everyone.
Yeah.
So I like literally needed this job.
Yes.
It was an inside sales position at a construction company. So I would put on steel toe boots, Carhartt pants, a collared shirt.
I'm laughing not because of the role. I'm laughing because I know her and I'm just like, question mark in my head. I'm like, huh?
Like a hard hat.
You're wearing a hard hat?
If I had to go out into the field, yeah.
In the field?
Yeah, because I would go on like drive-alongs.
What would you do? Guys. Tap the wall? You'd be like, that's sturdy. Like,
picture me walking up to a construction site.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
Yeah, and they made us do ride-along. So I would have to go with like some construction guys and sit in the truck with them and be like, so.
Oh my God.
What do you like to do for fun?
Why do I not know this chapter at all?
Because I don't like to talk about it. So I had two chapters. Like, also, if you have like a, like, you're not going to figure it out right away. Like, I went through multiple jobs where I was like, I just need money. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, the first day that I started this job, I was actively applying and looking for other jobs.
And so you took the job knowing that you just needed the money.
Needed money. Yeah.
And also, that's okay.
That's okay.
Because that was the step that you needed to take.
I needed experience also. This was an inside sales position. If I wanted to go into sales, like, you need experience.
Yes. So. Okay. Genius though. Yeah. In a weird way, the hard hat and steel toe boots are genius.
Genius. Brilliant.
Brilliant under this hard hat.
I have some pictures I'll show you later.
I'm dead. Help.
Oh God. But yeah, like that job was about 7 months.
Okay. So a little more than a half year.
Yeah.
So as of right now, you've worked 4 months in ish.
I had a teaching job, 4 months, a hostess job. I don't really remember, maybe three-ish, we'll call it. They also knew like it was a short-term, like figure it out position. Yeah. And then my construction job for 7 months. So I'm at three jobs within a year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. While I was at this construction job, I like figured out that I really wanted to either do med sales or work in sports. Mm-hmm. And so I, living in Colorado at the time, I signed up for Job Fair. The arena out there is Ball Arena. So I followed them on LinkedIn. I followed all the sports teams out there on LinkedIn, signed up for job alerts, things like that. Mm-hmm. And one day a Job Fair email invite came across my inbox.
Ingenious. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Like so fucking smart to go to these.
I thank God I did. Mm-hmm. I tried to convince myself so many times to not go to this job fair. I was like the whole day, like leading up to like the event, I was like, oh, I don't feel good. Oh, like I don't like my outfit. Oh, like you name it. Like I probably thought
it's gonna
be
awkward. What?
Yeah. Well,
like I'm not going with anyone. Who am I going to talk to when I'm standing alone?
Exactly.
Like, the whole, I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do I look professional enough? Like everything. And I mean, I paid for the ticket. It was like $80.
Oh so shit.
Because it also included, I think it might've been an Avalanche game.
Oh,
but
sweet.
But I was like, oh, I'm going to sit at a hockey game alone. So I didn't, I didn't do that. But, I ultimately went and we both played hockey growing up.
Yep.
So that was like my sport. Hockey's really big in my family. So I saw the booth for the Colorado Avalanche and I was like, this is it. Made a beeline to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, spoiler alert, I got the job. My then manager, he was standing there. I saw him with his name tag. I walked right up, like said, hello, like his name. He actually ended up also having experience in construction. I told him like, oh, I'm currently doing this. We kind of hit it off over that. Really just like, no, you know how to talk to someone. You look them in the eye, you shake their hand, like X,
you
Y, and Z.
Act confident even if you're shaking, quaking in your boots.
Exactly.
You just act like you know what you're talking about.
You act like you know what you're doing. And yeah, then we connected on LinkedIn, followed up with a couple interviews. And this is the weird part. So he had me speak with someone on the phone there that was already on the team.
Okay.
2 days later, I ran into her at a Colorado Rockies baseball game because we had a mutual friend.
Oh, yeah. And so you were like, oh, wait, I recognize you, your voice.
I knew like the couple of people from the Avalanche team were working there. And I was like, oh, my God, do you know this girl's name? And they're like, yeah, reached over and she was right there. And I was like, oh, my God, we just talked on the phone a couple of days ago. And she texted the manager and he was like, that's a sign. Like, you're
it's meant. A sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's how then I started an inside sales position with the Colorado Avalanche right before they won the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that was so sick. Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, are you freaking joking me?
It and was as amazing. Hockey
people, I know I've got a ton of Canadians, Chicago people, Minnesota people listening right now. We're hockey through and through. And like to have her working, getting a job that she like actually is so passionate about finally, and then them winning the Stanley Cup. I'm like,
it was unbelievable.
I'm gonna puke. So excited. Give me a bucket.
Oh no, but it was an incredible experience. And like that truly was like when my career, I guess, finally started was maybe 2 years after, because I did my master's and then a year of trying to figure it out. So it was like 2 years after all my friends were already, you know, what I thought, like, were so into it.
You know what's crazy is I just wanna have you reflect on the day before. Like you went to the job fair and then the day after you got your job, like, can you tell me about this person and can you tell me about the other person?
Oh God. Before the job fair, I was not happy. Mm-hmm. Like I also, this job, the construction job, I was going in at 6 a.m. and leaving at 5 p.m.
That's so not
a
balance.
Like no balance. Like I was with people that I had nothing in common with. You know, I was making like okay money, nothing absurdly crazy.
Yeah.
And just like trying to figure it out. And then the day I remember, I was in Vegas when I got the call,
really?
The job offer for the Avalanche. It was actually for my sister-in-law's bachelor. Yeah, it was a bachelor party.
Oh, yes, I remember that batch.
Yeah.
Because you guys dressed up in sumo suits in winter.
Yes, he did that.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah. So, celebrated as one should in Vegas.
Yep, you should.
But I just remember like it being the most relieving feeling. And I felt like proud to tell people what my job was and who I worked for and what I was doing.
There's a reason you had to go through that shit with teaching, because if you hadn't gone into teaching, you would have thought you'd never lived out your passion. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there was a reason you got rid of that job because it wasn't serving you. And you took a really, honestly, just anything that would drop in your lap at that point.
Yep.
It happened to be construction. You're Bob the Builder over here. that happened to literally serve you into this next role. And like everything is a stepping stone. Even in the moments where you're like, this is so fucked. I'm screwed. Like, I don't know what my future holds. You will see the other side.
You'll figure it out. Everything happens as it should happen.
Yeah.
Everything falls into place as it should. You might be stuck for a little bit or maybe stuck a couple times till you figure it out. But like when it's meant to be, it'll be.
It will be. Mm-hmm. I wrote down with Hobo before this seven things of like just like that are true in honestly your fucking 20s that are like just wild. Right. And we're in our late 20s. took a shiver down the spine. And one of them I wrote was, we wrote together was, you feel lost beyond belief in jobs and friendships and relationships, but you also can be wrong. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like you were wrong about a lot of things. Like you were wrong about what you thought your passion was. Yeah. You were wrong about like what was right. You were also wrong in thinking that like that day that I was talking, having you talk about before you got the job, that like, this was just your future. You were stuck. You have nothing, you know, like you don't know what's going on. You don't want to go to the job fair. Like you're not going to get anything from it. All these things.
Yeah.
One day. And it changed your trajectory.
Changed it all.
One connection, one job fair, one network change, like one step outside your comfort zone, which can't be a coincidence. Mm-mm. And it changed your trajectory completely.
Forever. Yeah.
Like, and knowing what you wanted to go into, you were like, I think I want to do sports. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Exactly.
It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be like, yeah, I thought I liked this and I don't.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of money on school on it. I mean, that sucks.
Yeah.
But it's majority of the population.
Majority. Yeah.
So
and
like,
it takes a lot to say it and to actually make the move. Like it is not easy, but to be where I am now, like I also wouldn't change a thing.
Exactly. It's like also all those quote unquote mistakes that you made were not mistakes. They were not failures. They're not mistakes. They led you to where you are right now.
Exactly.
So your 20s, you will fuck up and you will be wrong and that's okay. I want to talk about, there's another write-in down here and I'm just going to read it actually instead. I'm not going to even preface it. It says stress. How do you deal with stress and keeping yourself happy and healthy all at the same time? I said, I love your podcast. It really helps me, especially for someone in their younger 20s trying to figure it all out. I just recently moved in with my boyfriend and I noticed that I let my stress get the best of me and it can ruin a lot for me. Even little things stress me out. And then the overthinking, I want to be able to maintain it. What I wrote down next to this one is like, you have to learn to prioritize yourself because if you don't, stress builds. And I think what I learned in my 20s right away was that every time I put other people in front of me, I felt this overbearing stress of like, I'm uncontrolled in my life. I can't control my life.
Yep.
I don't know if you felt the same way.
No, I have. It's really hard. I've never lived with a boy, but moving in with a boyfriend, I can imagine.
Roommates are kind of the same.
Yeah. But like your relationship, I understand wanting to prioritize your partner, especially living together and making sure they're taken care of and everything, but you can't do that if you're not taken care of.
Yeah.
So you need to put yourself first. And if that's like finding even the smallest little things, like for myself, I like to go walk down by the ocean.
Yep.
And that instantly makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. It can be something as small as that, just to like do 30 minutes to yourself a day, whatever it is. If it's coloring, going on a walk, making new food, whatever it is, like do that for yourself so then you can show up for the other person.
We forget to give ourselves permission to like give ourselves that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was wrong with me. I remember like I thought, like I said, I was like, I have to check in with everybody, make sure everybody's okay. Okay. Uh-huh. And then I need to catch up on all my texts. And then I probably need to like, I should probably like watch some social media because I want to make a video. So I want to know what's current. And then I probably should shop because I don't want to like go out this weekend and not like have the cute clothes that everyone else is wearing. And then I probably should post a cute selfie because, well, I'm single. Like I want people to like know that I'm still alive and over here.
And
like,
hot.
And hot. Duh. And then, oh shit, my bank account. Oh God, it's negative again. Like, do you see how all of those things just continuously add up?
Yeah.
And it's almost like if all of those things are out of control, you're just going to keep swirling.
Yeah.
Spiral. And the reason you're probably spiraling is because the time prioritized for you is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And the time prioritized for other people, pleasing other people, making sure you're seen on social media, or like, even when we don't want to admit that that's the truth, or giving too much to our job, still not prioritizing ourselves.
Exactly.
We are not showing up for ourselves. So how are you supposed to de-stress when you are stressing yourself out?
Yeah. Oh God.
It's not possible. Dude,
can't do it.
Literally
can't
mic drop. It. What?
Whoa.
No, but I understand in the 20s, like that's the whole reason why we're talking about this. They're weird. And what I will say is I'm not diagnosing anybody by any means, but I have anxiety. Mm. I get fearful of worry. I'm worrying about everything and worrying about everyone else. And honestly, I worry myself sick about other people. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like even little things, stressing this person out and overthinking every little detail and minute thing about life, you won't feel happiness and you won't be able to calm yourself down until you understand the reason why you're stressing yourself out.
Exactly.
In the first place.
Yeah.
There's a root cause.
Yeah.
Whether it be chaos, whether it be knowing something's wrong in your work, your relationship, your body in general, feeling guilt for no reason, which I felt before.
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
Yeah.
And I would urge you to put yourself first and then remember that you don't need to take life so seriously.
You don't. We're just on a floating rock.
Dude, we are a floating rock. I'm an ant.
It's not that serious.
It's not. But it's hard to see that when you're sucked into all of it and you're trying to be your best self and you're trying to get like the best future and you're trying to nurture a relationship in this situation and maintain it and love on each other. Oh my God, we don't have enough sex. We don't have enough. We don't go on enough dates. Oh my God. Did you look at that girl? Is he cheating? Take a breath. Mm-hmm. You cannot control the unknown. You can't control other people. You can control your reactions. Mm-hmm. You can control how you show up. And also, life is not that serious.
It's not. It's really not.
It ain't. It ain't. I'm like, what am I doing? Oh my God. Why am I? God, get out of here with those noises, ma'am. Ma'am, calm yourself. One other thing about this one that kind of leads us into our next one. And it's still about being a little bit lost, but it's about being like feeling misunderstood because I felt like I couldn't change, if that makes sense. Like I felt like I was known as the anxious person who was like the flake. Mm-hmm. I would prioritize things that weren't right. I had way too many friends. Everyone knew that I had way too many friends. And like, I thought I like, you know, probably like they, I remember people calling me a social climber. I definitely wasn't, but I'm just saying I had a lot of friends because I wanted people to like me.
Yeah.
I wanted to be well-liked, but I was known for that. And honestly, me having a lot of friends meant I had a lot of guy friends. And then everyone assumed I was dating everyone on the friggin' planet. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
No.
But it's like, here's the thing. You can be and feel misunderstood.
Yeah.
And that still doesn't have to be you. Like you can decide one day and be like, actually, I don't really want to be that anymore.
Yeah. You can change whenever you want.
Yeah.
Change into however you want, whoever you want, whenever you want.
Damn. Drop that mic. I mean, would you say that you would have dated the person you dated in college or post-college now? Not to like, I mean, like, would it be the same relationship, I should say?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't have done that. And yeah. I've changed enough inflows in my friendships.
Too. Exactly. Yeah.
And you lean on different people. And that's the hard part is you have to find your support system too. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge other piece of it is like, you date the wrong people, whether it be...
And you have to date the wrong people.
Yeah.
Have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do and you should and you kind of have to in order to move forward in your life.
And even if it's not just like a long-term boyfriend, but even just going on a first date with someone that's not right for you. Like the more... I know you're going to ask me a question.
No, I was going to say, why does that help you?
Like you just figure out what you want and the type of person that's going to make you happy and fill your cup. Like mm-hmm. the amount of first dates that I went on.
Arrest. Citizen's arrest.
Like, oh my God.
And as if, is anyone counting? Is anyone standing here being like, ma'am, you went on too many first dates. No, I don't see any people. Oh, hey.
But it's just like, you're figuring it out and that's okay. Like I was going through a period for a while where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be that single friend mm-hmm. that can never find someone. But like looking back on it, like I just have standards where I meet someone and on the first date, if I know for a fact that it's not going to work out. And they're like, I had fun. Like, let's do it again. I'll be like, I appreciate it, but I'm sorry.
No. I can't.
Yeah.
You have to be honest though with yourself too. I dragged things along with people for no reason because mm-hmm. I felt too guilty saying anything. Mm-hmm. And I also remember being burned by people that I wish they would have just told me the truth.
Yep.
That sucks.
It sucks. And it's hard to go through.
It feels terrible.
Yeah.
And but I think if I hadn't dated, like you said, all these wrong people, I wouldn't even have known what to look for. Mm-mm. I wouldn't have known myself, honestly, even more. I wouldn't have known when to stop dating and start prioritizing myself again.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what the fuck I was doing anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like dating really poor people that I was like, poor, not poor.
I was gonna say,
not financially poor.
You need to clarify.
No, like just choosing the turds. I was trying to use a better, more sophisticated word and it came out wrong. Wrong. Illegal. Again, another citizen's arrest. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for that. Thanks.
Anyway, I'm gonna read another advice and then we're gonna do a few more call-ins. This one says, friends with the opposite sex, because we're talking about dating the wrong people. Chafiel. Am I wrong for not liking when my boyfriend spends one-on-one time with a girl? My recent ex used to say that I was too jealous and he felt like he couldn't have girlfriends. I never said that, but it would get upset when he would have dinner with a random girl he used to know. Also, he told me days after. Another example of my current boyfriend is that he had a friend he knew since COVID and went to her house, dinner, and for a walk. Seemed a little bit too much for me. 2 days later, he went to her house to watch the Super Bowl together. Apparently, it was a party. The worst thing is he didn't even tell me until after, since we were doing long distance. I never cared about girls he would practice with or hang out with in group settings. I just think that it's understandable, but the one-on-one time was just weird to me. Am I in the wrong?
No. First, like you your feelings are very valid.
You guys.
Very valid.
Take the girl out from it. You're not, he's not telling you things.
Yeah.
He's withholding information.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, just as bad as lying.
100%. Yes.
Where were you? What were you doing? I was at a party.
Oh,
do you want to elaborate? This
girl's house that I had dinner with her last night too, and now I'm back at her house. I'm sorry, friends don't go on dinner and then walks together.
Do you want to go on a walk?
No.
I don't actually. And if I did, I would have probably the wrong intentions. Yeah. Even if nothing's happening, it seems a little intimate.
Yeah. No.
Long distance is hard, and I can relate to this because I did it, but having someone that is not truthful or not straight up with you, mm-hmm. which I think we all have had, mm-hmm. is a literal sign, a flag. Mm-hmm. You should say, thank you for the flag. Mm-hmm. I've got to go.
Exactly.
Literally, bye-bye. Yeah. Because if they can be dishonest about something as simple as telling the truth or feelings that they're having that mm-hmm. are maybe like lingering,
yeah.
or maybe they are not secure in the relationship. They don't feel secure with you, mm-hmm. whatever it is that their insecurity is, because it's not a you problem, no. FYI.
No.
That is a flag saying you should get out right now, yeah. because you get deeper, it gets worse.
Yeah. And like, it's not that hard to send a text and be like, hey, there's a Super Bowl party that I'm going to today. What are your Super Bowl plans? Not that
sounds
hard.
Like a shit communicator to me. And I definitely don't want to date a shit communicator.
No.
In your 20s, you date the wrong people. You excuse the most insane behavior as normal.
Yeah. Everyone does it at one point and or another.
Okay.
Yeah.
You figure it out. You figure it out one idiotic thing at a time. One weird situation where you're like, I feel like that's not normal.
Yeah.
Like what I always said to myself was, if my sister was dating a guy and she came up to me and she mm-hmm. said, hey, this guy is like dancing around with this other girl. Like, I know, you know, we're long distance, but he like doesn't tell me things until a few days after. And I feel like I'm pulling information from him and it is making me jealous. Mm. I would be like, excuse me, what did you just say?
Hold up.
Get this little turdmeister out of your life immediately.
Immediately.
You don't deserve that behavior and he doesn't deserve you.
Yeah. And if it's long distance and it's bugging you, like you don't have to see him if you break up too. Like you don't. You can block him on social media. You literally don't have to know what that man is doing ever again if you don't want to.
And also, like, in a weird way, I feel like there's some underlying, just because I can relate to this, some psychoanalyzation of this girl's self mm-hmm. of like, this, my old boyfriend told me I was too jealous. So like, I feel like
she's
right now,
bringing that into her new relationship.
That, and she feels like she doesn't even have the right to be jealous.
Yeah.
When something feels inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like someone saying to you, you're jealous. But they're the one making the mistakes and you know it feels wrong in your gut. Ma'am, you're not jealous. Mm-mm. You're seeing things that are wrong with your freaking situation. Yeah. It is tough dating the wrong people. And of course, I would never sit on here and say, leave his ass or break up with people. You know, I'm not, I would never do that. That's just not how the world works. But I would say, put yourself first. Mm-hmm. You're in your 20s. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is just a season of him. In a season of you, but if you feel like you have reason to be jealous and reason to be bothered,
you probably do. Yeah. And did you mention having a conversation with him at all about it?
No. I mean, she says that she's saying she's like 2 days later, he went into her house, watched the Super Bowl, but the worst thing is he didn't even tell me until after, since we were doing long distance. Like,
it needs to be a conversation for sure. And you need to tell him how you feel and he should respect that. If he's your boyfriend and he loves and cares for you, like it's as simple as that.
I wish I wouldn't have given my time away so easily is like a wish. And mm-hmm. you should have, could have, would have, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. But I wish I would, and I've been in a situation similar to this, I wish I would have gone in to him and his excuses and been like, you're not mature enough for a relationship. And mm-hmm. I am right now. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, they'll, oh, whatever. You're just making drama again. You're so jealous. You're so this, that, the other thing. It's like, you know, weird, your name calling doesn't affect me. It just shows me that I'm right.
Yeah, 100%.
But I didn't have the balls to do that back then. You know, you're building yourself up as you have these quote unquote mistakes. They're not mistakes, but like.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Poorly chosen people. Oh, there's some nuts out there, including me. So there you go. Have that one. Okay, I'm going to play this next call in and I'm just going to play it because it is a good one.
No more reading for you.
I can't read.
I should. I love your podcast, and I just want to ask some advice about my father. I'm 16, so I still live with both of my parents, and I'm bi. So I came out, and I have a pride flag in my room. But sometimes my dad, like, takes it down or, like, hides it. And I don't know if he means that in, like, a bad way or not, but I just want to know a way to, like, ask him to stop and, like, understand me more. But me and my father don't really have that relationship where we talk about our feelings. Yeah. That's it. Thank you so much. Bye.
My little tummy.
My heart.
I love you. Yeah. You're loved by me.
Hey, me.
Oh, sweetheart. I wanted to play this one because it is Pride Month and I am a total LGBTQIA plus supporter in every single way. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many people that are like, I'm not going to make this dark by any means, but they're battling it. We talked about it at work today. We had people speak about it and it's so hard. Mm-hmm. And you see the people that are even in the LGBTQ community and they come out to their families and it's like, woo, gung-ho behind it. But that's just not the reality for everybody.
No. Yeah.
And discovering yourself in your 20s as a straight person is hard enough.
Yeah.
Let alone adding this complication of like coming out or like having to explain your identity in another way. I can't even imagine adding that complexity.
Oh, I can't either.
Like, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so for this person, I hear you. I see you. Mm. I want you to feel like you are seen and heard and loved because you are. But I want you to know that you are not in charge of educating and making other people comfortable because that's not your job. You don't have to make your dad comfortable.
No.
You don't have to make anybody comfortable. You continue living yourself and supporting yourself and being your number one cheerleader because that's the most important thing. But I will say, your dad not having a conversation with you is probably because he's scared.
Yeah. 100%.
He's probably, how do I say it? Like not familiar with
it. Yeah, doesn't know how to go about it.
Different generation. Not excusing it because that's really fucked up. I'm sorry. The flag tearing down and like the things like that, it's icky to me.
It's a factor in though, probably as to why he is maybe timid to have the conversation, you know?
And maybe imagine like maybe his parents or the people he was surrounded with and like, well, I know like kids like that get bullied or like, I'm not comfortable with this. He doesn't know anything about it. I think if you sat down with him and you were like, Dad, I know this is uncomfortable for you. I'm not being anyone other than myself. And I don't want me to make you uncomfortable. I want you to support me for who I am because I'm the same person.
Yeah.
None of what yesterday I was
change anything.
And tomorrow will be is different than what I am right now and was always.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
And I think he'll hear you, you know, and I can't promise that he will, but I always say, I never regret the words I say. I always regret the words I don't say. So I would say something.
Yeah. You don't want to look back and however many years from now, not saying anything and wishing you had. Mm-hmm. And if you do say something and it betters the relationship sooner rather than like, you're just going to look back on it and be even more thankful that you brought it up.
And that hurt me a little bit. Like the feeling you feel misunderstood. That was the topic of this one, feeling misunderstood and feeling like you don't know your path or what's right. Or like you don't feel supported. And, and I want you to know you are supported and sorry, we had to take a little turn in the vibe of the episode, but it's important to talk about these things.
Yeah. You know? Like, I'm glad you brought this one into it.
Yeah. Because it's hard. I mean, I said it, but I'm like, imagine battling this in your 20s on top of everything else. Mm-mm.
And she's 16. 16 is so tough as it is.
I know. I forgot she even said that. Oh my Lord. That's even younger than I was even thinking originally. Yeah. You are a warrior. You're a beautiful human being. Have the conversation. You're young. So don't worry. You've got your supporters. You got your people. Join a community if that outside of the home, especially in your school, in just in your immediate community, whatever you can do to surround yourself with like people, with like experiences so you can talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would do.
That's great advice.
Thank you, friend.
I just thought that my life would be so different by this point. I'm 27 years old. My career is not where I want it to be. I am not married. I'm not engaged. Don't have kids. I'm not pregnant. Don't have a house. I don't even live in a house. I just feel like the norm makes it seem like you're supposed to be so much farther along by this age. It's not that I'm not proud of where I've gotten and who I am, because I am proud of myself. It's just that I feel so behind in life. And I just want anyone else to know that you're not alone. Just feel like I should be at a different point. I don't know. It's so hard to explain. It's such a weird feeling. It just like really sucks. I let it consume me so much last year, and it was so hard to have those thoughts in my head. Not this one here.
That's so relatable.
This year to have like more of a positive mindset and feel better about this situation, focusing on my healthy habits. I just got to the gym. I'm gonna go do a workout. Your timing will happen when it's supposed to happen. You just need to trust in the timing more, and that's just something that I'm really trying to do, because everyone's journey is so different and it'll all like work out.
Wow. Relatable. Yeah.
Relatable. In any age in your 20s. She's 27. She's our age.
Yeah.
I can relate so hard to this. It's also so insane to look around at your friends and be like, that one over there had a baby and maybe is going to have number two. That one has a house over there. That one is back in school.
Yeah.
Or just getting out of school.
This time of life is actually wild.
Crazy. Like, crazy.
To think, where everyone is at, like, no one is at the same stage, and that's okay.
Would you want anyone comparing themselves to you?
Well,
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
I mean,
no.
No, like, you wouldn't.
No, yeah.
I wouldn't want anyone comparing themselves to me, and I'm not wasting my time. I can't waste my time because it'll go drive myself mad comparing myself to other people.
Yeah, but I've been in her shoes. When I was going through my whole career thing and figuring it out and figuring out relationships and everything. And honestly, what she said is so true. It was something about like how you start bettering yourself and then things just like start happening mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. Like that happened for me, like to a T. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably one of the like best things that you can do is just start focusing on yourself. We talked about prioritizing yourself a lot on this episode. Just start figuring out like the little things that you can do to start making yourself happy, bettering yourself in whatever way that you think that's going to be best for you. And the good will start coming.
It will trickle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to pick up one thing at a time of mm-hmm. like just making yourself an inch better.
Exactly.
Just doing things for you, putting yourself in front of one foot in front of the other, not paying so much attention to what's going on around you, but mm-hmm. rather what's right in front of mm-hmm. you. And it literally good shit starts to fall in your lap.
Yeah. When I stopped paying attention and comparing myself to other people, like, oh, the weight that is lifted off of your shoulders.
I'm not going to be the guy that preaches no drinking. I'm not. I'm just like, it's totally up to everybody's mm-hmm. discretion. But when I stopped thinking that going out was good for my mind, body, and soul, good shit started happening to me. I'm not going to lie. Like, and I had to battle being like, oh my God, I'm not going to have any friends. I'm not going to meet anybody out because I'm not going out drinking. But I was making poor decisions. Mm-hmm. Hanging out with people I wouldn't hang out with normally, talking to men I wouldn't normally talk to, feeling like shite literally on a stick the next day, like feeling like I'm going to pass out and die. Yeah. I want to die because I made so many weird conversations probably. And I probably told that woman about my deepest, darkest secret. Why? Bank account empty, lost my credit card. I mean, like you name it. And I'm like, I'm sick of feeling like shit. And I'm sick of that being the norm. Mm. And I'm sick of that being the norm in your 20s. Like, and it is for some people. And that's sick. I still go out. I'm not saying I don't go out, but I was like, I can't keep looking around at the people in their 20s and saying that I need to be doing this.
Yeah.
I need to be doing exactly what they're doing. Like, because that is where I should be. Like, I couldn't do anymore.
I know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Well, going out's still fun.
No, yeah.
But for me, I just can't. My body can't take
no,
it.
No, I know. Insides. Every weekend, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to be wholesome. And then it's like the same thing over again. And it's like, it's hard to get out of that cycle.
Took
especially,
me a long time.
Yeah. Like now I live in California and it's like, there's always something to do.
Yeah.
And people are always doing something mm-hmm. like drinking. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to escape from it.
The hardest thing too is to let's say for instance, you really, really want to get into your workout routine, like, but every night there's a work happy hour and you think that if you don't go to the work happy hour, you're going to not meet a new person or you're not going to like put yourself out there more. Okay. So you try to wake up early, but you don't have it in you, right?
Yeah.
And you're tired. Maybe you got to skip a few happy hours to get on your routine so that you're fueling you first.
Yes.
And then fueling whatever comes next.
No, this is literally something I'm going through to a T. So I don't work for the Avalanche anymore. I'm in sports and entertainment. And it's a lot of schmoozing you know, sitting down with clients, having wine, having dinner, having more wine. And it's just like at certain point, it's like multiple days a week.
Yeah.
You know,
and during the week,
Mm-hmm. And then you got to go into the office the next day. And then you have an event that night. And then it's just like constant rotation. Mm-hmm. And it's figuring out that balance of like, hey, well, I just started this new job. Like I need to, you know, meet the right people. I need to get to know my clients. I need to be around the leadership. And it's all these things that you're trying to figure out, but also you're like, oh, but like, I really want to be healthy. Mm-hmm. I love going cycling. So like I am paying for a membership and it's, I don't want my membership to go to waste. Like I want to make it to this class and this class on these days, but oh my God, I have X, Y, and Z with the-
So stressful.
Yeah, so stressful. And it's difficult navigating that.
All I will say is it can't be a 100% one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like I'm just not that way. Like I'm still going to eat cookies and mm-hmm. I'm still going to like have off days of working out and I'm still going to sleep in sometimes and I'm still going to go out sometimes.
Yeah.
But like majority, I would say like if it's 7 days a week, like out of the week, five of those days, you're doing good things for your body.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Two of those days, you might be like, oh shit, I got off my quote unquote routine. Yeah. But routines are meant to just pick back up again.
Yeah.
Like it's all good. That's learning your routine, learning what's important to you. That's your 20s. That's literally what it's fucking about.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, but we're all battling all together.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of want to do one last one.
Yeah.
One last one.
Give it to me.
And then we're going to talk about how you don't have to continue making the same mistake patterns just in what our five little takeaways are.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Sid. Your event last night was incredible. I'm not going to sing it. Okay. I had so much fun and felt so inspired. You also got me thinking about how I thought of a situation on my way home that I've been wanting advice on, but not sure how to word it. So I'm going to try. I have a friend in a group of four of my college friends that I don't know how to deal with emotionally. She is a very thoughtful person who would do anything for her friends. But when it comes to spending time together, I struggle. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells, afraid to be judged or looked down on for little things I say. She makes comments that make me feel like shit and really just makes me feel anxious to be around. People from the outside don't see it and only have good things to say, which I do too, but it's hard not to feel like I'm overreacting or being sensitive. I think others in the friend group feel it, but it's not a situation where we can just like cut off the friendship, especially when I know she would do anything for me. But is that enough? Overall, I would love some advice on an attitude and perspective I can have when I'm with her that doesn't make me anxious since I don't think she's going anywhere anytime soon. Hope this makes sense. Any advice appreciated. Love you and so proud of your growth. I've seen you this year.
Oh, that was a cute end.
Love ya. Live, laugh, love. I love you. Thanks for being here. I love you guys. You know that. Well, I mean, there's a question within here that says, is that enough? And I say no.
Mm-mm. It's not.
It's not.
No.
I like literally don't waste your time.
No. Well, as you were reading that, I was thinking about the friendships that I've had in the past. And I can think of a handful of people that were in my life that made me feel so bad about myself.
I hate that.
For no reason. And like you would just leave after it wasn't even like a one-on-one hangout. It was a group hangout. And you just like would feel so bad. And you're like, no one else makes you feel like that. No one else mm-hmm. in the group. And mm-hmm. like, maybe a couple other people feel that. And at this point, I'll say like those people are not in my life anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel great.
You feel good.
I feel great.
You're ridden.
Yeah.
You're ridden. Good riddance.
Good riddance.
It's not that easy in a friend group. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know I've been in many different friend groups and it's hard.
Yep.
Like living in Arizona, I was in a friend group living, you know, wherever I was living at the time. The thing is, though, you don't have to impress anyone
mm-mm.
and they don't get to have judgments of you, that especially ones that make you feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you have to retrain your brain of like when someone is acting out of line and you're like, oh, wow, what did I do? Like, what did I say? Instead, it's like, wait, what are you doing over there? Like, wow, you must be really unhappy. I wonder if you're okay. Like in your brain, you know, you're thinking, you're retraining like, oh, I didn't do anything weird. I know I didn't.
Yeah.
You're being weird and you hate me for no reason. Instead of being like, how can I change myself for you to like me? Like, I wonder why you don't like me. I must not be cool enough. I must not be all these things. Retraining your brain to be like, you're whack. Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Like, it's just, girl? it And you're hearing all this and you're probably like, oh yeah, easier said than done. Like, yeah,
it takes a while. Like it doesn't happen overnight, but like you finally get to a point where you're just like,
what are we doing?
Literally, what are we doing?
You really don't like me? I don't care.
Yeah.
I used to care.
Yeah.
But I used to want everyone to like me. I wanted everyone to like me. Guess what? If you're liked by everybody, you're a people pleaser and you're not doing something right. You're not having an opinion.
Exactly.
You know, and you're probably being the friend that no one wants to go to with trusting word, because if you're friends with that person and friends with that person and they're having beef, like, but you're really best friends with this person. Like, you're probably going to be like consoling them and helping them.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, no, I'm not going to you. You're best friends with the person I'm pissed at. Mm-hmm. Who's really not that great of a person. Mm-hmm. Do you actually like this person? Do you? Have you thought about it? I mean, like, I've had friends where I'm like, oh God, shit. I've known you for a long time and I don't even like you.
Yeah.
You're not a good person. Yeah.
Yes.
You know? So, I just, yeah. Take a step back.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
You don't have to really be mean though. And I'm not telling
just
anyone
slowly
ever.
Fade away.
Fade away.
Or let them fade away. Like you just,
shimmy.
You know, the distance gets a little bit longer.
I'm going to bop over here. I'm going to bop over there. Just bopping away from you. That's a song I wrote. I'm getting slap happy.
That's really good.
We're going to wrap it up. I swear. Have a perspective of I'm going into, what's the word I want to use? Like support the friendships that I know are really strong.
Yeah.
I'm going to nurture those relationships that I have with these other people that you clearly really like. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be okay with your presence, even though it's not lovely, but your problem,
you can coexist.
Yeah. Your problem is not my problem. Mm-mm. Whatever you're pissed about over there ain't my problem. And don't take on other people's energy. That's another thing. It's like, oh God, your bad juju is coming into my juju. I got to keep that out.
Get that juju out of here.
Create a little bubble barrier of protection over you.
Yeah.
And let the good people in, but have a little screening where you got to like check in at the window
protective
and be like,
barrier.
Hey, how you doing? What do you want to eat? You know, what's your order? Oh, yeah, they're getting something funky. I don't like you. Nope. Closing the window. You don't get to eat here. You know what I mean?
What a way to explain it. Yeah, I agree.
Am I hungry? No.
No.
No, I would never.
No.
I would never be hungry.
Never.
We just ate like so much food at Red Cow. We went on a girl's night. Went to Red Cow in Wayzata, by the way, if you haven't been there. And we did munch.
I think we had like 7 apps and split a main dish.
We did do that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. All of it gluten-free though.
And and dairy-free.
And most of it was dairy-free.
I think there was one couple sauces.
Yeah. But
look at us.
Look at me.
Look at us.
I don't have a tummy ache. Hey. Okay. So to wrap up, how do you not continue to make the same mistakes and patterns over and over again? And Hobo and I wrote down 5. Number one is don't get mad when you make the same mistake over again.
It's going to happen.
Because it's going to happen. Yeah. I hate to say it to you. It's
gonna
not happen. What you wanted to hear, but it's true. You will fuck up and then you'll be back at square one again.
Yeah.
And be
like,
shoot.
This looks familiar.
I've been here before, haven't I? Oops.
Oops.
Yeah. Number two is start to say what you mean. Mm-hmm. Say what you mean. Quit pretending like you don't have an opinion on something. Yeah. Quit saying that you're okay with behavior that you're not. Mm-hmm. Quit saying, yes, I'll go there. Like, yes, I'll do that. Yes, that's totally fine. That works when it doesn't.
Yeah.
You have to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Learning in your 20s is learning about having a freaking opinion.
Doing what you want.
Slay. 3, stop saying yes to be seen. Don't go if you don't want to go. You said something about this earlier.
Oh, yeah. If there's like an event that you don't want to go to, you don't have to go. Or if there's an event that you really want to go alone. Like I went to the job fair alone and I got my dream career. I recently also went to this concert that I really wanted to go see and all my friends happened to be busy or out of town. And I went alone and I instantly made like 3 friends. I had the best night. It was one of my favorite artists that I've been wanting to see.
Who was it?
Well, Disco Lands was there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Fun. And it was the most intimate, like small little like patio rooftop. Maybe 30 people were there. And it was just like, if I didn't go, like, I'm so thankful that I had that experience.
Yeah. Your energy of like you walking in there, carrying yourself, just like having a good like time and a good vibe.
No, it was so much fun.
Immediately attract good people.
Yeah.
Because the people are like, oh, I want to talk to you. You look cool.
Yeah. Mm. But then like, since I already did it, I would do it again. Like, I now have no problem going to events alone if I don't have anyone to go with.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. And you, like you said, like, don't go if you don't want to go. Trust me, you not showing up for, let's say, the dive bar that you really don't want to go to, or maybe it is the dive bar you want to go to, the club. I don't know. Whatever it is that you don't really vibe with. And you feel bad. Why?
It's fine.
Your friends are going to be, they're going to be fine. There'll be
more times to hang out and see your friends. Like, missing one night of doing whatever it is, of the same things that you guys do over and over, it's fine.
It will be okay. Put yourself first, especially if you're tired or not feeling it, or you know that it's not going to serve you that night to drink, or whatever it is that you're doing that you don't want to do. And if you genuinely don't like whatever they keep asking you to go do, you can literally just be like, hey, I'm not going to join, but I'll join you for brunch in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. Let me know. I can't wait to have a, like a catch up of the night.
Simple.
Remove yourself. Remove yourself from the situation. Place yourself somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Simple, right? 4 is stop feeling bad for everything you're doing. I like had this immense guilt just in my 20s in general of like, oh my God, I'm not like, I'm living at my mom's house. I'm not like saving enough money. I'm not like, I'm not dating as many people as I should. I'm not in a good job that I like. I mean, you name it, the guilt, it just like ruminates over you. And it's like eats at you alive. It's, but it's a waste of time and energy.
Yeah. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let that shit go. Number 5. No one cares. No one cares.
Truly, okay. No one cares.
Not everything needs to go on social.
Yeah.
Go to things alone. No one freaking cares. Mm-mm. No one's looking at you. Mm-mm. No one's wondering what you're doing. Mm-mm. No one's staring at you at the gym going, wait, she's going to use that machine. What is she doing? She doesn't know what she's doing. She changed the weight to lower. Weak. I mean, no, the things I thought, oh my God.
Or it's like when you post an Instagram story and then you rewatch it thinking about like everyone and how they're perceiving it. Yeah. And it's like, no one is.
Wonder if they're looking at this again. Yeah. No, they probably skip through it.
Literally.
No one cares. They
like,
don't.
Are you sitting there like examining people's story? No.
Are you happy? No, like literally when you're doing shit, are you happy? That's all that fucking matters.
Truly, truly.
Because literally you are your only control. You are the constant in your life. So get it right in your 20s.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, we're still in them.
Yeah.
We're still learning and we're still fucking up.
Yeah. You're going to get it wrong before you get it right.
A freaking man. Oh. Guys, it's 10:30. I got to go to Betty bed. I got up at 5 a.m. this morning.
Oh.
You want to know what I did? 5 a.m.
Tell me.
My eyes peel open.
Jordan right next to you with his eye mask
breathing
on.
Breathing heavy. I'm like, quiet. Get up. I literally have to sprint in the morning, but I refuse to have my alarm have a 4 in front. I know that's so spastic.
What?
A 4 in the front.
A 4 in the front.
So I wake up at 5:00. 5 on the dot.
Yeah. Rather than like 4:50.
4:50 would be perfect for me. I refuse to get up if there's a 4 in the front.
Why?
Because I have to do it every week. I'm not waking up at 4 in the morning every week. Like, boo. No. Because it's a weird thing. I don't know
why. I thought you were going to have like a superstition against the number 4 or something.
No, but like maybe.
Maybe.
But, I'm like, if 5, it's like, okay, I've got 1 5 a.m. morning every week. But if I said,
you know what you should do?
I got to get up before 5, like at 4:45.
No, get a digital clock, but set it 10 minutes ahead.
That's smart. That's you. Smart. You? I like you. I'm going to keep you around. Then I taught 2 classes back to back yelling. I actually fell off a BOSU today. People were like,
what's a BOSU?
BOSU ball is a flat side with a round on the bottom. Okay. And I was doing like a plank on it. Like, so picture me, my hands are on the BOSU.
Shaking,
quaking. And I had my sweatshirt on still because I was cold.
Yeah.
And my hand was slippery and
it slipped right off.
Bonked me in the neck. God. You can probably see the mark. There's a red mark on my neck.
Oh, that was a hickey. I'm
nope,
just kidding.
Not
just
a hickey.
Kidding.
That is a BOSU. Jordan. That is a BOSU attack on my character. And then I worked out and then I went to work and then I had a happy hour with my friends.
Hey, Red Cow.
At Red Cow.
Eventful day.
It was a full day, but that was a good day.
Good.
This was a good episode.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you had me on. When you asked me, I like truly felt honored.
Wait, did you get tickled?
Yes. Tickled pink.
Tickled pink. Oh, she was tickled pink.
I got
pink
the tingles.
I got the tingle. Sorry about that. Okay. I'm getting weird and I need to go to bed. I'm not lying. I love you. I appreciate you. Pride month is this month. And also Juneteenth is actually today, the day that we're recording. So what I said to my class earlier was educate yourself, please. Yeah. Be a part of your community, be a part of your people, be an alliance, right? And celebrate things and educate yourself. That's basically what it's all about.
If you have not called in and you have advice you need to get, my next episode is probably going to be about bad breakups and girl opinions.
Oh, can I be on for that one too? I know,
probably. Yeah, it's so, there's so much fun. So much fun.
Like, actually.
I have so many good episodes coming. Jealous. It like tickles me. I feel tickled now. But if you want to call in about a bad breakup, about anything to do with bad breakups or a hot take that you've got, 612-470-7569. I change your voice. Don't you worry. Ooh. No one will know who it Never is either know. Way. And you can always write me in if you are out of the country. The link in my bio will get you there. Cool.
Coolio. Cool.
Follow me on Instagram at Well Said and at Well Said Sid, I should say, and then Well Said Podcast. My personal page is more my life. My podcast page is more my advice. Chafil?
Chafil.
Where can they find you? If someone wants to creep hard.
Oh, God. Okay. I am private, but you can try.
You can request, but you're not getting through.
We'll see if you're lucky. You can find me at Hannah Oborski. That's HannahOborsky.
Love that. Guys, basic. Have a lovely, lovely week. Lovely. I will talk to you before the 4th, but the 4th is coming up. So maybe I should talk about that next week too. I got so many ideas.
So many ideas.
Okay. I got to go. Love ya.
Lilas.
Bye.
Bye.